The first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. And before we read God's word, let's all bow in a word of prayer. Father, we pray for fresh anointing upon the preacher and hearer alike, that as we come before thy holy word, that thou would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive thy word by faith. Lord, let us not just hear another sermon, but I pray, Father, that Christ might speak through this message and that Christ might be heard, and that Christ might be glorified in all that we say. Father, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand these things in thy word without spiritual help, without spiritual illumination. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to help us think and to help us understand the things of God. So, Father, we come to thee now and we ask thee, Father, for help and for the opportunity to glorify thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Luke 19, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. While living in the United States, I can remember going to a place called Anderson Orchard in Indiana. Anderson's is famous for their wide selection of apples. Our favorite kind were called the Matsu apples. They tasted delicious and were great for baking pies. At the orchard, you had the option of either picking your own apples or buying apples at their store. We usually picked our apples. I always tried to pick the ones that were the most ripe because they were the ones ready to eat. Our scripture passage in Luke chapter 19 reminds me of my experience picking apples at Anderson's orchard. We read of a man by the name of Zacchaeus who climbed a tree to see Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that Zacchaeus was a short man. He needed a place high enough to see the Lord. A sycamore fig tree served that purpose. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us or reveal why Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. Perhaps he was just curious and wanted to see for himself the one who everyone in Palestine was talking about. And maybe he felt an emptiness in his own heart and wanted Christ to fill it. Whatever the motive was, it is clear from the text that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And is this your desire today, to see Jesus? Not to come and to hear a sermon or to come and hear a man speak, but to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. That was the desire that was in the heart of Zacchaeus. Little did the chief tax collector know that this day would change his life forever. Not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, he met him personally and later had Christ dine in his own home as an honored guest. What a difference a day makes when Christ comes and calls a sinner to salvation. And that's what happened to this man Zacchaeus. He was saved. For the Lord Jesus Christ even says in verse 9, And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. Come to his house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, just like when I plucked apples from that orchard tree, so too the time was ripe for Zacchaeus to be plucked from the fig tree by the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Here we have a soul, the chief of tax collectors, the little man called Zacchaeus, handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ripe for salvation. It was time for Zacchaeus to be saved. Therefore, the title of my message is simply, A Sinner Plucked from a Fig Tree. A sinner plucked from a fig tree. Salvation is illustrated in the life of Zacchaeus. And there are four things from Zacchaeus that are true of every believer in Jesus Christ. That's what I want us to consider now in this message this morning. First of all, notice the sinner identified. Zacchaeus was a sinner. Many people of his day believe Zacchaeus was the worst kind of sinner. He was a publican or a tax collector. Now back then, people thought publicans were the dregs of society. They were morally bankrupt, the scum of the earth. And why did the publicans have such a bad reputation? Well, historians tell us that in Judea, the Romans were forced to employ publicans or tax collectors from the moral outcasts of society, from among Jews that agreed to go over and work for the Romans and force their Jewish brethren to pay tribute to Caesar. The acceptance of such a position was bound up with the most profound moral fall. It was associated not only with national, but above all, religious betrayal. To become a tool for the subjugation of the divinely chosen people by coarse pagans, one had to deny the hopes of Israel, everything holy to it, its dreams, and what is more, since the Romans did not take into account the spiritual tribulation of their agents, upon accepting his position, a publican had to swear a pagan oath of fidelity to the emperor and bring pagan sacrifices to his spirit. Of course, the publican served not only Rome's interests, levying taxes upon their own countrymen, but pursuing their own greedy goals and becoming wealthy at the expense of their subjugated brothers. They made the yoke of Roman oppression feel even more difficult to bear. This is who the publicans were. This is why they were surrounded by justifiable hatred and scorn. And that's why people hated the publicans, because they were the scum of the earth. They were morally bankrupt. And in this case, Zacchaeus was not your run-of-the-mill publican. He was the chief among publicans, which fueled even more hatred and animosity against him. In the minds of everyone there at the time here in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus was the last person in the world to deserve a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. His sins were great. His sins were many. The sins of greed, of covetousness, idolatry, extortion, and corruption, these are just to name a few, were evident in the life of this man Zacchaeus. But what we see in Zacchaeus is true of every one of us here today. Zacchaeus was a sinner, and so we are sinners. We are lawbreakers and undeserving of Christ's grace and mercy. The Bible identifies all of us as sinners, as lawbreakers. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, young or old. Doesn't matter what country you live in. It doesn't matter what family you come from. We're all part of this sinful nature, fallen world. And there's no one exempt. Not one. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the scripture is so clear that when we are born, we're not conceived in righteousness, but we're conceived in sinfulness and wickedness. So every one of us can identify ourselves with Zacchaeus. We don't deserve to be saved. Who deserves to be saved from sin? Not one of us. Not one of us. The Lord would have been perfectly just to condemn the whole human race and be done with us. But he didn't do that. Christ could have passed and left Zacchaeus up in the tree. But in his amazing grace, he reached up and plucked Zacchaeus from that fig tree, a picture of salvation. He plucked him out of that tree. And he does that for every believer. He plucks sinners out of that tree. Christ plucks the burning brands from the fire, doesn't he? He did this for Zacchaeus, and he does this for all of his blood-bought people. And he continues to do this as I speak, as Christ goes forth and he saves sinners. That's what he's doing. He's going up and he's plucking sinners and saving them and bringing them to himself. See, Christ died on the cross not for good people, but for the ungodly. See, he laid down his life for sinners, so that they might be saved from the punishment and wrath of Almighty God. Do you identify yourself as a sinner today? Do you see yourself as a lawbreaker? Maybe you see yourself as a pretty good person in the sight of men. You might reason, well, I try my best to live a good life. I love my family. I work hard. People think you are a good person, and perhaps in their eyes you are a good person. You even hope that that will be good enough to get you into heaven, trying to be good in the eyes of men. But how does God see you? That's how men see you. But how does God see you? He sees all of us as sinners. And the only way we can be saved from our sins and enter heaven is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we see here in Luke 19. This is what Christ is trying to teach us. By plucking this man from the tree. This is the last man in the world that people thought should have been saved. But yet Christ shows his amazing mercy and grace and plucks the chief of publicans and shows that any sinner, if God is calling him, can be saved. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're a sinner and you know you've done some bad things in your life. Those things that you've done in your life cannot be any worse than what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus was a cheat. Zacchaeus was a liar. People hated him and despised him because he lived a lie. And if you're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're living a lie. You're trying to cheat life. You're trying to live life and trying to live it without God. You can't do it. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you, young person. You have to come to the realization that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of salvation and I need to be plucked by Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. See, Zacchaeus was ripe. It was time for Zacchaeus to be saved. Maybe today's the day for you, young person. Maybe you're ripe for salvation and Christ is coming to you now, just like he did Zacchaeus. He's going to pluck you. He's going to come and save you from yourself and from your sin. Christ came to redeem sinners. He paid the price for our sins on the cross. On the one hand, Zacchaeus was a very rich man, the text says. And he got all his riches through a lot of the extortion and lies and cheating of people. That was what made him rich. But on the other hand, he was poor. He was poor inside. There was an emptiness in his life. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's an emptiness, a void in your life. And you ask yourself, what is life all about? Why am I here? What am I doing on this planet? Well, Zacchaeus perhaps felt that same void in his heart. He wanted to climb that tree and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ filled that void. Christ made him happy. He never was happy. He was rich, but he wasn't happy. You know how many people today in this world are rich, but they're not happy? They're bankrupt. They have everything that money can buy and are miserable people because they don't have the Lord. And this is the way Zacchaeus was before he met Christ. Christ filled his heart with grace and salvation. Do you see yourself as poor and empty today before God? If you're outside of Christ today, you're poor, you're empty, and you're in need of what Zacchaeus needed. And that was salvation. That was the meaning of life. And what is the meaning of life? To live for Christ. To live in the reality that Christ has bought me with His precious blood and that Christ has forgiven me of my sins. And therefore, because He has done this, I will commit my entire life to serve Him. And that's the response that came from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't miserable when he came down from that tree, the scripture says. He was glad because he finally found what he was looking for. Peace and joy and gladness that money couldn't buy. All the money in the world couldn't buy Zacchaeus eternal life. All the money in the world today, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, The wealthiest men in the world, they can't buy their salvation with their money. It can only be bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Zacchaeus had to realize and learn. And that's what you have to learn today if you're outside of Christ. It's not anything that you can bring to the Lord. It's simply clinging to the cross and trusting in His finished work, in His atonement for sin. Nothing to thy feet I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's where we have to come. We have to be humble. We have to be low in order to be saved. And Zacchaeus had to come down. He had to be lowered. He had to be humbled. And the Lord humbled him and saved him. And He plucked him from that fig tree. And oh, if there's someone here today, I pray that Christ will pluck you from that tree, from that lofty perch that you sit yourself on, that pride of life that you think is all well and fine. Christ needs to come and take you and bring you down and save you. That is my prayer for you today. See, we see the sinner identified, and we can identify with Zacchaeus because we're sinners. And thankfully, those who are here today can shout hallelujah because Christ did come, just like He came to Zacchaeus, and plucked us out of that tree and saved our souls. And our response was one of gladness and joy. But secondly, not only do we see the sinner identified, but we see the means employed. The means employed. There's something that Zacchaeus needed to use in order to see Jesus, and that was the tree. He employed the means that was there at his disposal to see Christ. The famous missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, learned later in his life how Christians should not be ignorant of the means God uses in leading and saving His people. We read an excerpt from his biography when he was a young man. In September 1835, 2 years to the day after he visited the Crystal Palace, Taylor terminated his medical studies without finishing his degree and sailed for China as a missionary of the Chinese Evangelization Society with instructions to proceed forthwith to Nanjing. Before the ship reached Land's End, he had a spiritual crisis in his life. The square-rigged sailing ship, the doomed Dumfries, ran into a storm off the coast and was almost shipwrecked. The young Taylor was racked with guilt. Should he wear a swimming belt during a storm? Did a swimming belt constitute means which would indicate a one of faith and remove me from the direct and immediate leanings of God? He gave it away. He felt like if he put that swimming belt on, that was a lack of faith. Therefore, he gave it away to someone else, preferring to rely on faith to protect him. Fortunately, since the ship passed through no more storms, he did not have to test his resolve. Later in his life, Hudson looked back at that time in the ship and said he should have worn his swimming belt. He realized that God appoints means to help and preserve His people. He uses things in our life to bring us to Christ. And we can't ignore that. In the example of Hudson Taylor, it wasn't a lack of faith to put that belt on. It was the utilization of the means that God had given to him to keep him safe and to keep him from harm. And so too, in Luke 19, Zacchaeus did not allow a few obstacles to get in his way of seeing Christ. He couldn't see Christ because of his stature. He couldn't see Christ because of the crowd. Despite these disadvantages, Zacchaeus utilized the means of climbing a tree to put him in a better position to see Christ. And oftentimes, the Lord uses means to help us see Christ. If Zacchaeus stayed where he was, he would have never seen Christ. He saw this big tree. He says, I'm going to climb this tree. You know, he didn't care what people thought. I'm sure he looked ridiculous up there. A little short man in the tree, wanting to see Christ, but he didn't care. He had this drive, this desire to see Jesus. And he used the means to get a better view of the Savior. I can remember in my own life how my public high school teacher was the means in leading me to Christ. You could say he was my tree. The Lord raised up in my life. He was my history teacher in public high school. He was my baseball coach and my friend. The Lord used him in my life to help me see Jesus. I would climb on him, not literally, but figuratively. And I'm sure it was uncomfortable for him at times, this young fellow in high school, and had all these questions, and yet he didn't come across like he felt uncomfortable. He was very patient with me and very loving with me. And yet he kept prompting me up to see Jesus. He was that means that the Lord used in my life to show me the Lord Jesus Christ. Through this man, I attended a Bible study before school. I became a member of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I started reading the Bible on my own for the first time. He was my tree, or the means the Lord used to help me see Jesus. Was there someone in your own life who was the means in leading you to the Lord? Maybe a co-worker, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a teacher, a family member that God used to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what the Lord does in plucking us from the tree. He uses means. We use these means to see Jesus more clearly and more closely. And oh, my friend, I pray that today there is someone in your life that the Lord is using to draw you to Christ. And that's a wonderful blessing to be able to look back and see how the Lord worked and who He used in drawing you to salvation. And we think very highly of those individuals. We think very highly of those means that the Lord used. I'm sure Zacchaeus had a special place in his heart every time he walked by that tree and saw that that was the tree that I climbed to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the tree from where Christ plucked me and saved my soul. We've considered the sinner identified and the means employed. Let us look thirdly at the time appointed. The time appointed. Just like there's a time appointed for us to die, and there is a time appointed for all of us to die, so there's a time appointed for sinners to be saved. There's a time appointed, if you are to be saved, for you to be saved. And in the case of Zacchaeus, it was appointed for him to be saved in Jericho. That was the place where Zacchaeus was to be saved. And it was up in a tree. Christ went to Jericho for the specific purpose of plucking Zacchaeus from the fig tree and saving his soul. Think about it. That's why Christ went to Jericho at that day, at that time, to save one soul. Jericho, to go to the city Jericho to save the chief of publicans, Zacchaeus. And there was nothing that could alter that course. There was nothing that could change the events that unfolded that day in the life of Zacchaeus. It was appointed that day in Jericho, Zacchaeus would be saved. And the time is appointed for all of God's people to be saved. And this was decided when? Before the world began. The Lord decided to save a remnant of people in this world before the world even began. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Just like I said when we sang that song, I love Jesus. If you can truly say, I love Jesus, you're saying that God's done a miracle in my life. And just like Zacchaeus, when he was saved, he can look back and say, it was an appointed time that I got saved. It wasn't some lucky chance event. This was ordained before the world began, that this one sinner would be saved in Jericho as the Lord Jesus Christ came through that city and saved that man's soul. And so too, we can see in our life that the Lord Jesus Christ appointed a specific time to save our souls. And made us a new creature in Christ. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't by something that we did. It was all actually things that we would have turned Christ away from us if He looked at our lives and saw what we were doing at the time. And so too, that's what the people in the crowd were murmuring about. They were saying, does Christ know who this man is? This man's a sinner. This man's not only just a sinner, but he's the worst kind of sinner. He should belong with harlots. And yet Christ came and was appointed for that publican, that chief publican, that sinner to be saved. Not because of anything he did, not because of anything he was, but because Christ went and in His mercy and grace plucked him and took him down and saved his soul. That's what He does. That's why salvation is of the Lord. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, great chapter regarding this reality of our salvation being appointed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the Beloved. See, when Christ called Zacchaeus, he obeyed immediately. He didn't say, well, let me think about it, Lord. Or he didn't object and say, well, you know what? I just wanted to see you, Lord. I don't want any more than that. I don't want to meet you, and I don't want to go. I don't want you to come to my house. He didn't do that, did he? He said, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. When Christ calls a sinner, there's no, well, let me think about it. There's no hesitation. Christ comes and calls a sinner. He calls them. And you come. And you notice Zacchaeus was really miserable and really reluctant, wasn't he? No. He came down from the tree and he was happy. He was glad. He came down from the tree and embraced Christ. That's what sinners do when Christ calls the sinner. That's their response. One of joy and gladness and happiness. And theologians refer to this call as the effectual calling. A shorter catechism question, 31, asks the question, what is effectual calling? What is it? The answer is, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. Wonderful definition. Wonderful application in the life of Zacchaeus. This is exactly what happened to Zacchaeus when Christ called him. He embraced Christ. How this aptly describes what happens to Zacchaeus and what happens to any sinner who hears the voice of Christ. See, the devil will want you to think, well, become a Christian, you're just miserable and it's no fun and you're just always having to do and you just don't have any fun and pleasure. That's the opposite when it comes to the true effectual call of Christ in your life. It makes you joyful, makes you happy. Makes you really start living your life. Before you come to Christ, you never were living. You were just dead. You were a dead man in a shell walking around. But when Christ came, He breathed life into you. When Christ plucked Zacchaeus out of that tree, He finally gave Zacchaeus what he longed for, and that was real life. Real living. That's what effectual call is. And if Christ is calling you today, if Christ is speaking to you today, and you know if He is or not, you know if Christ is speaking to your heart, then don't turn away from that call. Don't say, I don't want to come now. I'll put it off. I'm still young. I have my whole life to live. If Christ is calling you, you come. You obey immediately. Because you don't know what a day will bring forth. If you leave this place today, and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you could walk out later today or out across the street and get hit by a car and you're dead. No. When that call comes, when the voice of Christ comes and starts pricking at your conscience, then don't ignore it. Come to Him like Zacchaeus did. And He will give you that joy that you so desperately long for. Will you respond to the call of Christ? Will you gladly submit to the word of the Lord in your life? That's what Zacchaeus did. And that's what we must do. The time is appointed for sinners to be saved. And I don't know the counsel of God. I don't know His wisdom. Maybe there is someone in this meeting today where from eternity past, the Lord has appointed that this is the day that you're to be saved. Today is the day of salvation for you. And lastly and fourthly, we look at the fruit displayed. The fruit displayed. Zacchaeus was a changed man after Christ called him. We read in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have given anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So the words of Zacchaeus indicate that there was no more going on in this man than moral reformation. There was more going on in this man than just a reformation in heart. It wasn't merely turning over a new leaf. Here is a man who was completely changed. See, salvation is not just trying to become a good person and reform your life. See, true salvation changes your heart, changes the way you think, changes the way you live. It's not just reformation, it's regeneration. It's the new birth. And Zacchaeus was a regenerate man. He was born again. He was a new creature in Christ. And a mark of regenerate man is he repents of his sins. He turns away from his sins. And this is what Zacchaeus is doing. He's having Christ over to his house. He stands up and he talks to Christ. And he tells Christ his sins. Basically confesses to Christ his sins. What have you done? And he said, Lord, I've done some bad things in my life. I've done some really wicked things in my life. And he tells Christ that. That's what he's doing. He's confessing his sins to Christ. And that's who you need to confess your sins to. You need to confess your sins to Christ. You need to follow what Zacchaeus was doing. You don't need to go to confess your sins to a man. You need to go to the one who can forgive you of your sins, absolve you of your sins, Jesus Christ. And Zacchaeus was doing that. And that's the mark that he was a changed man. One Bible commentator tells us, while repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. It is possible to truly and fully change your mind without that causing a change in action. In the Bible, repentance results in a change in behavior. That is why John the Baptist called people to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. A person who has truly repented will give evidence of a changed life. The Scripture is replete with verses that talk about that a man who's truly changed will produce fruit in his life. There will be a difference in their life. Albert Barnes, the great commentator, says this was not a proclamation of his own righteousness that Zacchaeus was doing, nor the ground of his righteousness, but it was the evidence of the sincerity of his repentance and the confession which with the mouth is made unto salvation. That's what Zacchaeus is showing us. That he is bearing fruit, displaying the fruit of salvation. Listen to what John Gill writes. The Israelite, when he brought the basket of the first fruits to the priest, confessed before the Lord his God. This is what Zacchaeus is doing here. He's taking something from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Zacchaeus directed his speech to Christ, being as he was now convinced, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, who knew the genuineness of his repentance, that it was hearty and real, and the sincerity of his expressions and resolutions, and upon what principles he acted and proposed to do as follows. See, Zacchaeus didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. See, Zacchaeus meant it. Zacchaeus was sincere. Zacchaeus was devout. He never wanted to do that again. He never wanted to do that sin again. And the fruit of that was he's going to reimburse, or he was going to give back to those people who he stole from. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, not to make satisfaction for the sins he had committed, but to testify his sense of them and his repentance for them, and as willing to do good with what he had gotten, which shows that the disposition of his mind was altered. And of a covetous oppressor, he was become tender, kind, and liberal. Here is a changed man. And he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, or by extorting anything from him on any pretense, by making an unjust demand upon him, or in any oppressive way, by defrauding and tricking, and by doing him any injury in any form of manner, I will restore him fourfold. Now, that idea of the fourfold is found in Exodus chapter 22. The same that was done in case of sheep stealing. If you were in the Old Testament, stole a sheep and you got caught, you had to restore to the one who you stole from four sheep. And in such a case as this, the law only required the principal with the fifth part added to it. But Zacchaeus proposes as much as in this case of theft, in which was rarely used. Back then during the day of Zacchaeus, no one ever really lived according to this law, according to this rule. But he was so sincere, he was so convicted of what he had done was wrong, he wanted to do the maximum. He wanted to give back which he stole fourfold. And this was done by Zacchaeus to show the truth and reality of his repentance. Are you here today and you say you are a Christian? You profess Christ as your Savior, but where is the fruit of your repentance? You still live in the world. You still desire the things of the world. You still want the things of the world. In the life of Zacchaeus, here is a man who not only wanted to make things right, but he never wanted to do these things again. He was a changed man. He didn't make excuse for them. He didn't take them lightly. He didn't want to continue in them. He confesses them to Christ and makes things right, not only with Christ, but with his neighbor. Again, the question is there fruit of repentance in your life? Do you confess your sins to Christ? Even today, we all have to come before the Lord and confess our sins. I have to confess my sins to Christ. I have to say, Lord, I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. I've failed to live up to your standard. Forgive me, for I am a sinner. But I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. We have to confess our sins, brethren. We can't go on in life unconfessing our sins. We have to confess our sins. We need to tell Christ our sins. And we need to go on and serve the Lord. Is there enough evidence in your life to find you guilty of being a Christian? Or is there enough evidence in your life to find yourself being guilty of a worldly person? You look at the person's life and you say, oh, there's not much different than the Muslim friend that they have. There's not much different than the Jewish friend. There's not much difference in their life than the Catholic friend. There's not much difference in the unsaved friend as you look at the person's life. As a matter of fact, you see more of the world in them and less of Christ in them. Is there enough evidence to condemn you or to find you guilty of being a Christian? Zacchaeus wanted to be guilty of being a Christian. And he confessed his sins. And he looked to the Lord. Go to Christ. All of us today, I want us all afresh to go to Christ. Every single one of us to confess our sins to Christ. But we all need to go to Christ for a fresh cleansing from our sins. This is what Zacchaeus did. Jesus Christ went to Jericho for a specific purpose. And that was to pluck a sinner out of a fig tree and save his soul. Zacchaeus was the least likely candidate for salvation. He was a chief among publicans. Like Zacchaeus, we are undeserving of God's grace and mercy in Christ. But Christ came into the world to save sinners, my friends. Christ saved sinners by using means and at the appointed time. And there was fruit in the life of Zacchaeus. And that proved he was a regenerate man. Do you have this fruit in your life? Do you hear the call of Christ today in your heart? May the Lord help all of us to heed the gospel call this day. And that we might respond as Zacchaeus, obediently and gladly. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this little man Zacchaeus that we read about, and we often teach our children in Sunday school that wee little man Zacchaeus, that song that they've memorized, and yet it's much more profound than just a Sunday school song, and profound for children to understand, but it's profound for us when we consider the lessons that we find in this story of Zacchaeus and how Christ came to pluck him out of that tree. And, oh, Lord, I thank you for that appointment that you had there in Jericho when you came through that city for one specific purpose, and that was to save one soul. And maybe, Lord, today there is that we have this meeting specifically for one purpose, and that is to save one soul in this meeting, that you are going to come today and pluck a sinner from their sins. And there's one here ripe to be plucked. Come, Lord, I pray. And save sinners. Come and speak to them, Lord. Call them like you called Zacchaeus. Lord, I pray that thou wilt Help us to heed the call. Help us to take seriously our souls. Help us to be filled in our hearts with true happiness, with true peace, with true salvation. There's so many people today, young and old, especially young people, who are trying to fill their hearts with joy that doesn't last. They're trying to fill it with drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality, and it just doesn't fill them. It makes them miserable. It makes them unhappy. Oh, Father, I pray that you will help the young people to see that they need the Lord, and that, Lord, you will come after them and pluck them from their own self-righteousness and from their own pride. And, oh, Lord, I thank you for those in this congregation who have been plucked, who have been saved, and who have desired to go on with the Lord. Help us to bear fruit in our lives, Lord. Help us to be like Zacchaeus, who truly repented. When we confess our sins to thee, Christ, afresh, we're not only sorry for our sins, but, Lord, we're so sad when we consider we still sin, Lord, even after being saved. And, oh, how this grieves us. How this really grieves us, Lord. And we pray that you will wash us afresh in the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, make us have short accounts with the Lord. Help us with our behavior. Help us with our language. Help us with our thinking. Help us with our attitudes. How we need the Lord to help us in all areas of life. So Father, remember us now and dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us, Lord, to go our separate ways, rejoicing in the Word of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.